Now we know at the end of the ministry of Jesus, he was taken up in a cloud. Now that thing that occurred at the end of his ministry is highly prophetic, and is something that we ought to understand as children of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, shortly before Jesus departed the scene, left this world, this material world, and entered into the heavens, he met with the disciples and said something. Acts chapter 1 from verse 5. I'll just read from verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when therefore we are come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. He told them about how they must wait to receive empowerment from above, how they must wait to receive the Holy Ghost, whom the Father was to send to them. You see, at that point in time, the disciples still had the carnal reasoning of the natural man, the religious man, the Hebrew man. So they were still asking Jesus about the restoration of the kingdom. They were still expecting something to happen in Israel at that point in time. See, but Jesus Christ did not bother to, you know, to deal with that question, because he realized that in their empowerment with the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God is come upon them. And Jesus Christ realized that there is no way at that point in time that his disciples could have truly understood the things he was saying. That's why at certain points he tells the disciples, you do not understand now, but later you understand. Later, after you've received illumination from the Holy Ghost. Later, after you've received the Spirit of God. Then you begin to understand. That is why John later says, or, you know, John writes later, so this is what he meant when he says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. The people did not realize that Jesus was speaking spiritual things, celestial things. It was later on that it dawned on them that Jesus Christ was speaking heavenly things, spiritual things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even Peter, even still after the Holy Ghost, Peter still believed in the Hebrew tradition of this animal is clean, this animal is unclean. You see, but he was convinced by the Holy Spirit that nothing is unclean, all things are holy unto God. See, all these things comes by illumination, understanding by the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God is given to us to teach us all things, to illuminate us, to illuminate every dark path in our lives, every darkness in our hearts. Oh, Hallelujah. Praise God. So without deviating from the topic, something happened immediately Jesus Christ gave these last words about the empowerment of the Holy Ghost from above. Now, if these are the last words that Jesus Christ gave before being taken up, there must be great importance in these words. After making that statement, he was taken up in a cloud. He was caught up in a cloud and taken up into glory. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In the cloud lies our consolation. In the cloud is where the Father can be found. In the cloud is where we have the eternal fellowship of Father and Son. Oh, hallelujah. In the cloud is where you are united once more with the Father in one. The cloud represents pure spirit. You can't touch it. You can't pin it down. You can't figure it out. It represents pure spirit. The forces of gravity cannot have no effect upon the clouds. See, no power of death has effect over those who discover themselves in the clouds. The clouds represent the Shekinah glory of God. See, those who find themselves in the cloud are liberated. They enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, where sin has no more power over you. In the clouds, you can laugh at death. You can laugh at sin and death and say, where is your sting? Oh, hallelujah. It's a place of bliss, peace, joy. It's a place of all power. Praise God. Now, the only thing that causes a man to lack faith to do all things is simply that sense of separation between him and God. It's simply the sin consciousness that makes a kind of gulf, a separation between man and God. And as long as there's that separation between man and God, that kind of feeling in your heart, that void in your heart, you can't operate with the totality of the power and faith that God intended for you from the foundation of the world. Now, all that faith that Jesus demonstrated while here upon the earth, sleeping upon the raging seas, you know, and those many miraculous things he did, was simply because he was in that cloud. He experienced that oneness. That gulf between God and Jesus had been breached. I and the Father are one. It's only found or experienced by those who are in the cloud of God. Praise God. Pure spiritual beings. Pure celestial beings. That's why it says you must be born again. Born again of the incorruptible word. But flesh and blood cannot enter into that realm. The carnal consciousness cannot enter into the realm. The natural human being cannot enter into the clouds. Praise God. So Jesus Christ, during the days of his ministry, prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. Before this world was, I had, you know, glory with you. I had that all power with you. Glorify me with thine self. Father, glorify me with thyself. Oh, hallelujah. Father, glorify me in God, in you. the way I was before I descended into the dust, before I descended and became a mortal being, before I descended and, you know, entered into this tribulation, this suffering of humanity. Glorify me with that glory I had with you from the foundation of the world. Praise God, that is the end of the faith. The end of the faith is to rediscover yourself in that union, in God, in one in God. That is the end of the faith. The beginning, the way when the beginning is the way the end is. For the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ recognized this mystery. He says, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. See, and that was the path he walked. That was his life, was that prayer. People think that prayer means to just close your eyes and look up into the sky and, you know, just say words and all that. No. Your life can be a prayer. Every move that you make can be a prayer. Every meditation that you have can be a prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. If your treasure is in the cloud, in the heavens, in the cloud, that is where your prayer is. That is where your motives will be. That should be our meditation, how to discover ourselves in that cloud. To be found immaculate in Him, perfected in Him. That is hope of our glory. It's not something that you just realize when you die. It's not something that you must realize when you've passed away from this world. The good news is that if you have ears to hear, you can enter in. The doors are open. If you have ears to hear, you can enter into the clouds today. Praise God. Because the doors are open. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ himself was baptized in that cloud. Symbolically, we see this when he was baptized by John the Baptist. The Bible says that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and when Jesus Christ ascended from the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove. It descended also with lightnings. If you read the accounts properly, one of the accounts says that with lightning. As the glory of God descended, it descended also with lightning. It descended upon Jesus as a dove. Many people think that, you know, that scripture was talking about, you know, the Spirit of God descended in the shape of a dove. No. If you look at how a dove descends quietly, how a dove descends quietly, majestically, you know, calmly. That's how a dove descends. The glory of God is actually a cloud. That is the same Shekinah glory that the Israelites had seen over the years, in the days of old. They saw that same glory as a cloud over them by day and as a pillar of fire over them by night. That same cloud that same glory of Shekinah that descended upon Jesus when he was baptized is the same cloud that filled the tabernacle of Moses when they dedicated the tabernacle. It is the same cloud that filled the temple of Solomon when Solomon dedicated the temple. Oh, hallelujah. That cloud is the Shekinah glory of God. Praise God. And by now we know that individually we are the tabernacle of God. By now we know that individually that we are the temple of God. See, once we prepare ourselves, we can experience that same thing that happened to Jesus as he was baptized. See, at that point in time, Jesus Christ had dedicated him the temple, his body as the temple of God. Praise God. And the glory of God descended, and a voice thundered from heaven saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. From that moment, Jesus Christ had that fellowship in the clouds. He had that communion in the spirit with the Father. From that moment onward, he was feeding on the hidden manna that was normally hidden in the tabernacle. From that moment, it was no longer Jesus of Nazareth after the flesh, but a new man, a new creature. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, something happened which we must discern. Jesus Christ received the glory of God, he received the Holy Ghost, he received the Shekinah glory of God, and the Bible says it led him, it drove him into the wilderness for 40 days. Praise God. Now, all these things are prophetic, symbolic. If you receive the Spirit of God today, does not mean that God will have to lead you somewhere into the Sahara Desert or whatever. No. It's prophetic. Praise God. It's prophetic. Hallelujah. All those are symbolic of the temptations, the warrings in the flesh. The beasts of the wilderness represents your carnal minds, your carnal reasons, the old man, the old man of the flesh that still loves this world and is still attached to this world, the old man of the flesh that still loves and attaches to the visible rather than the invisible, the same old man of the flesh that still does not know God, neither does he trust God. The old man of the flesh that loves the glories of this world, that is adapted for this outer world. That is the carnal mind, the beasts of the field. Praise God. And at times, some of us, particularly those who are starters, go through rough times. Go through diverse temptations. There are periods, you know, of spiritual highs and spiritual lows. There are periods where you wonder whether you are going the right way or not. And there are periods where you wonder whether you are going to make it. See, it right there in the wilderness, Jesus Christ had the choice to go back to his Father's house, to go back from where he came. See, but he stood his ground for 40 days, 40 nights, which is symbolic of a period of trials and temptation. In a letter to the church of Smyrna, which is the second church, the Spirit says to the church that some of you will be cast into tribulation for 10 days, and you'll be tempted of the devil, you'll be tempted of the evil one, but be faithful unto death. See, be faithful unto the death of the cross. Be faithful and continue on in the revelation of the Spirit, in the revelation of Christ. Continue on in love, in faithfulness, in kindness, in patience, in endurance. Continue patiently, and I'll give you a crown of life. In a letter to the church of Philadelphia, which is the sixth message, he says, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of trials and tribulation, and I will cause you to enter in the celestial city. I'll write a new name upon you. That is, you will realize that new character, that new nature, that nature of God shall be worked out in you. You shall consciously become aware of yourself walking in fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. Praise God. So, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. The same thing happened to the children of Israel. When the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, the Bible says that they were baptized into a cloud. They were baptized into a cloud. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. For those of us who don't know scripture, I'll just quickly read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Are you listening, brethren? We know that the movement of Israel from Egypt to the promised land is a movement from the dimensions of darkness to the realm of light. It's a movement from the flesh realm, from carnality into the spirit realm, into spirituality, into the mind of Christ. From the serpentic mind, the serpentic mind of man, of the carnal man, into the mind of Christ. It's a shift from the natural to the heavenly. That is the movement of Egypt to Israel. Praise God. Now, to get to the promised land, they had to first of all be baptized into the cloud. They passed the Red Sea, which is symbolic of death. See, flesh and blood. And they were baptized into the cloud, which is the spiritual cloud. And we know the story. They had to go through 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in a waterless wilderness. In a wilderness littered with serpents, scorpions, stones. You know, no vegetation, rocks. They had to pass through that cloud. Walk in that cloud. Stay in the wilderness for 40 years before the beauty of God, the inheritance of God, emerge. All these are symbolic. Now, 40 years does not mean a literal 40 years. You don't have to. 40 years can be a year for some people. It can be 2 years for some people. It can be 20 years for some people. It can be 10 years for some people. See, it all depends on you. Depends on how you avail yourself to the things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see it's a similar thing. The Israelites were also baptized into the clouds and led into the wilderness. And all that wilderness experience is simply, you know, something we experience because of the carnality that is in us. Not because God dumps us in a wilderness. Not because God doesn't want us to enter into the promised land. Not because God shuts the kingdom of God on our face. No. Not because God wants you to suffer. No. James says that if any man is tempted, let him not say he is tempted of God. Because God cannot be tempted. God does not tempt anybody. But you are tempted and drawn away by your lusts, your human desires, your carnality, your beastly tendencies, the serpentic mind. These are the things that, you know, cause your temptation and you're being drawn away. The Israelites, a lot of them always looked back to Egypt. They murmured in the wilderness. See, they longed for garlic and all the, you know, delicacies of Egypt. All that is the flesh. We know that the flesh rebels against God. We know that the flesh cannot please God. neither does it ever come in agreement with God. The contrary, that is the state of the carnal mind. The carnal mind rejects God. The carnal mind cannot know God. The carnal man is God on his own. So how can he accept another God? That is the vain carnal man. Praise God. If you read Hebrews, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you go down, you see that that experience in the wilderness is our experience, we who are headed into glory. It's the experience of every child of God who will seek to taste of the fullness of God's glory. Now, it doesn't mean you'll be there forever. See it? But I'm sharing this so that you recognize that your wilderness places will be turned into a Garden of Eden. Praise God. I'm reading this so that you will not give up when temptation, when sin rises up in you. When an ungodly character rises up in you. You will not get discouraged. But rather you will look up onto the cross and remember the sacrifice on the cross. You know, the Israelites, at the point in time when they rebelled against God, you see, their whole camp was littered with serpents, very poisonous serpents, dangerous serpents. And they died in their thousands from snake bites. They cried unto God, and God ordered Moses to make a bronze serpent and to hang it on a pole and lift it up in the camp, so that when the children of Israel looked onto the bronze serpent after being bitten by a snake, and they looked onto the bronze serpent, they were what? They were healed. Anyone who looked onto the bronze serpent was what? Healed instantly. All we need to do is look. Look, brother, look in meditation. Remember, look back at that cross, at that eternal sign that the Lord has put before us. Look when that guilty conscience begins to come upon you. Look under the blood of Jesus. Look on the sacrifice on the cross. Because that represents you crucified 2,000 years ago in Christ. Look unto the blood and the eternal, covenant that the Lord has made with us. That you stand forgiven. That God sees you through the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Remember the words of Jesus. Look unto the cross and remember the words of Jesus. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. When sin arises in you, when you stumble, when there is a bitterness in you, when there is a weakness in you, look. Look onto that cross. All these are provisions in the wilderness. Praise God. That God has given to us so that we do not waver, so that we don't give up. Praise God. The blood of Jesus is enough to lift up and justify anybody. No matter the depths to which you've fallen, the blood is there to lift you up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Israelites, they drank of the same spiritual water. They partook of manna from heaven. How many of us realize that what we are hearing today is manna from heaven? Praise God. Hallelujah. They took up deep spiritual waters from the rocks. Hallelujah. These are deep revelations of Christ that we are receiving from the Lord today, that is here to refresh our souls as we pass through this journey. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Lord is teaching us not to murmur. Praise God. He's teaching us not to be lustful. He's teaching us to walk wisely. teaching us so that we don't become idolaters like the nations are idolaters. He's teaching us to walk in the Spirit, to recognize His presence, to recognize our true origin in Him. He's teaching us all these things, and He's breaking down and destroying every barrier of the flesh in us. Praise God. Even Jesus had to learn obedience. Jesus had to subject Himself to the Spirit. You see, from the moment Jesus Christ received the Spirit, He was under the counsel and the guidance of the Spirit. He says, I do only what I see the Father do. The same thing for the Israelites. They were under the guidance of the Spirit of God. Wherever the Spirit moved, they followed the Spirit, which is the cloud of God, the glory cloud of God. Whenever the glory cloud stayed or stopped, they waited. Hallelujah. They received their manna from the clouds. They were preserved by the glory clouds of God. And in likewise manner, the Lord who has called you will preserve you and bring you unto a perfect end. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let us understand our calling, our sacred calling. It is that we are gathered. We receive counsel first, and then we are gathered back into the cloud. Praise God. If you quickly go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As He said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto Him that were able to save Him, that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. Though He were a Son, yet learned He obedience by the things He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the offer of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Brethren, Jesus too had to learn obedience. Praise God. He Himself found Himself in flesh and blood. He Himself found Himself in the miry clay of humanity. He experienced the temptations. He experienced the weakness of the flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He experienced the emotional pains that we go through. That is why He cried when Lazarus, His friend, died. That is why He wavered a little before going to the cross. That is why at times He was tired, He was hungry. Because He experienced the weakness of the human flesh, the body. Praise God. But He learned obedience, patiently, receiving counsel from the Lord, edified by the Lord. All the 3.5 years after He received the Holy Ghost, He was in communion day and night with the Father. Walking in union with the Father, receiving from the Father, fellowshipping with the Father, increasing in knowledge. He will wake up early in the morning to go out to pray and to be alone with the Father. Praise God. He was always conscious of that presence. He had to learn obedience and stick with life. He laid hold on eternal life. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. He aligned Himself with the will of God upon the earth. That is why He made it at the end. He was glorified. He was caught up in the clouds. Brethren, that's our destination. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you face trials and temptations. Be patient. Listen to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Fellowship in the Spirit. Recognize the presence of the Spirit. Continue on and on in the fellowship of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you will see yourself in a manner no man can comprehend, because no man knows the hour, the day, but you will discover yourself consciously aware in the glory of God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the moment the children of Israel enter the promised land, the clouds that follow them by day and the pillar of fire that follow them by night cease to be. Why is this? Does it mean that God left them? Of course not. Now, what happened is, what God was trying to demonstrate is that the promised land itself, which is the New Jerusalem, we call it the New Jerusalem today, is a city hidden in the clouds. It's a city in the clouds. Hallelujah. In other words, the children of Israel had been transformed. Praise God. You only see the cloud from without as a cloud when you are without. But as you enter into the clouds, you no longer see the cloud because you are part of the clouds. So you can see the wilderness experience, that trip is a glorification, is a transformation, is a confirmation process that God passes his children through so that they can be as the clouds of heaven. Isn't it written that we are one spirit with the Lord? One spirit. Praise God. That is the cloud. We are one in that cloud. We all. Many members, but we are one spirit. One spirit. We see the same thing. We speak the same thing. We have the same mind. We are one person. Praise God. As you enter into the promised land, all the flesh and blood consciousness and the thousand voices all dissolve. They are no more. They disintegrate. The elements dissolve. Praise God. Even as Jesus went up into the cloud, the Hebrew man was no more. The male human being of the flesh was no more. What you are seeing now is Christ glorified, who lives forever. And he's in the clouds. That is our the forerunner, the first out of many brethren. And we all end up in the cloud. The way he ended up in the cloud. Now the cloud, the glory cloud, like we know in the tabernacle, was in the holies of holies. And it was hovering over the mercy seat. Praise God. That is our destination, brethren. To be with him in the clouds. This is the famous rapture fury in 1 Thessalonians, where he says we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the cloud, and there shall we be forever. That is our salvation. It's an awakening to a spiritual consciousness where we are one with the Father. See it? The false, lowly consciousness of flesh and blood dissolves. Self is no more. All that is Christ and God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is why he must reign in us and put everything under his feet, so that the kingdom in us is handed over to God, so that God becomes all in all. Because there is none other but the Father and the Son. There is none other than God. And we all originated in him. That is where our consolation lies. That is where our peace lies. That is where our joy unspeakable lies. That is where our healing lies. In the cloud is where you find the New Jerusalem. In the cloud is where you find the paradise of God. In the cloud is where you find delight forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us lift up the name of God and be thankful for this word. Hallelujah. Let us not faint. Let us hang tight. Let the eyes be focused and our prize in the clouds. Praise God. Jesus Christ says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you from the foundation of the world, from the beginning, in that Shekinah glory. Glorify me with thyself. There he was in the clouds, lifted up and taken up in the clouds. In likewise manner, we who hear the voice today, we who hear the truth today, we who are able to fellowship in the cloud and maintain ourselves in the cloud, awake from the dust, awake from the dead, awake from the graveyard of humanity. And we are taken back into that union with the Lord. And there shall we be forevermore. Amen.